Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Terry Anderson had just finished a game of tennis when he was abducted on a street in Beirut, Lebanon by Hezbollah terrorists. He was held hostage. The date was May 16th, 1985. More than 100 foreigners were taken captive, but out of all of them, Anderson was held the longest for almost 7 years before being released in 1991. He shares in the New York Times that he had experienced thousands of major and minor humiliations, which included several beatings. He was moved to about 20 different locations during that time. He also shared how about a year and a half total he spent in solitary confinement where he did not see or hear anyone. How did he survive such an ordeal? He writes this in the New York Times. He says, "Constantly over the years, I found consolation and counsel in the Bible I was given in the first few weeks. Not other world, this is just a test kind of consolation, but comfort from the real, immediate voices of people who had suffered greatly and in ways that seemed so close to what I was going through. I read the Bible more than 50 times, cover to cover, in those first few years." Want to welcome everyone this morning, those who are here in person. It's great to see everyone. Also, those who are joining us online, thanks for being with us today. We are in the middle of a series called Pursue His Presence, which is our theme for 2024, where we're talking about how can we pursue God's presence and experience more of God, not just in a church service, but in our everyday lives. And the title of today's message is Rehearse the Verse. Everybody say that with me. Rehearse the Verse. And that's exactly what Terry Anderson did. As he's being held hostage, he reads these stories of people who've been suffering. He reads scriptures of encouragement, of promise for God to be with him, for God to strengthen him, for God to be there. And he takes those verses, he rehearses them, he repeats them, he thinks about them, he meditates on them, he applies them to his life, and because of that, it gives him the strength, it gives him the hope, it gives him the peace to be able to press through what would seem to be a horrific situation. And he received that because he was into the Word of God. 50 times over those almost 7 years, he read the Bible. Now, I guess if you've got no television, no internet, no one else to talk to, you're all alone, and you've got only one book to read, yeah, you might spend a lot of time reading. But it wasn't just a book. It was God's message of hope and encouragement, and he found it come alive in his life. So this morning, in your notes, if you're taking notes this morning on the Radius Church app or you're looking at the back of your worship program, it says, as we encounter God through his word, he gives us life, strength, and vitality. God gives us life, he gives us strength, and he gives us vitality. You know, I am so thankful for God's word. The Bible, for me, it's like spiritual food. How many like to eat? Yeah, all right, you like to eat? What happens when you don't eat? You get hungry, you get weak, you get tired, it's hard to function. Friends, the Bible is spiritual food. When we don't eat from the Word of God, we lack the strength, we lack the ability to function. The Bible, I have found for me, I need it to be strong. I need it. It gives me life as a Christian. Without the Bible, I would hate to think what life would be like. We need to be people who are into the Word of God. It's how we experience God. In week one of our series, we talked about how God gave Moses the design of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was going to be the place of meeting where God met with Israel. After the tabernacle, there was later the temple, And then in the New Testament, God says, I don't dwell in temples made by the hands of men, but I dwell in the hearts of people. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:16 that believers, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've turned from your sin and asked Christ to become the leader of your life, now you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And so what we have learned, what we've been learning, is that the way God laid out the tabernacle, the temple, it was intentional, and the layout of it is symbolic, and we glean many lessons from it of how we experience the presence of God. In week one, we talked about, I will enter his gates, and we've got a diagram up here. We want to show this. You can see there is a courtyard about 150 by 75 feet, and the black there, those are the gates that they walked through. And when they walked through the gates, the Bible says, I'm going to enter those gates with thanksgiving. We need to be people who have gratitude towards God. Gratitude comes as we see the greatness of God, how wonderful he is, and his goodness, how good he's been to us. And as we walk through life, as I realize how God loves me, he cares for me, he's always there for me, how he's blessed me, it should produce a heart of gratitude so that even when I go through troubles, when I go through difficulties, I'm focusing on the goodness of God and the bigness of God instead of the badness of my problem and the bigness of how big it might seem. God is high and lifted up above everything. Our problems are way beneath God. God is over them. So we need to live a life of gratitude. Then as we walk through the gates, if we want to show the diagram, we come to the brazen altar, and that symbolized submission. It was a place where they offered animal sacrifices as worship to God. And the Bible says that we are to be living sacrifices. Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And this shows me, if I want to experience God's presence in my life, I can't live according to what Craig wants. I need to lay down my desires, lay down my will, lay down my wants, and say, God, I want what you want. When I walk through my day with this yielded, submissive life to God's leadership, letting him lead me and guide me, trusting him, being grateful for no matter what, I experience his presence. As we pass through the brazen altar, we come to the laver, which we talked about last week, and that symbolizes holiness. You see, after they would sacrifice an animal, they got a little messy. They needed to clean up, so they came to the laver. That's where they washed themselves. And it symbolizes for us that we need to wash ourselves. We need to cleanse ourselves. We do that by reflecting on our life, examining our life, and letting the Holy Spirit speak to us if there's any sin we've committed or any commands that we're not following. And as the Holy Spirit shows us things that we need to get right with God, we confess them and we live a life of holiness so that we can be useful to God. And as we're people of holiness, we experience the presence of God, the closeness of God in our lives. Now, that all takes place in the outer court. The next few weeks, as we look at what comes next in the tabernacle, we're going to pass into what's called the Holy of Holies. And we have kind of a depiction of that up here on the stage. There was a curtain, this multicolored curtain that you see. It divided the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Behind the Holy of Holies was where the Ark of the Covenant was. How many remember Indiana Jones, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, okay? Many of you have seen that movie. Well, friends, we are like Indiana Jones, all right? We're going to discover the temple, not the temple of doom, okay, but the temple of God. And as we explore what's inside the temple, we're going to find treasures that are worth so much, that help us get close to God's presence in our life. And so this morning, I want to talk about number three. You can see the green there on the diagram. That is the table of showbread. That was on the north side of the holy place, the table of showbread. And we read about this in Exodus 25, verses 23 and 30, where it says, you shall make also a table of acacia wood. You shall set the showbread on the table before me always. The table of showbread It symbolizes God's word that sustains us. If you're taking notes this morning, it symbolizes the word of God, the Bible, its importance, and it sustains us in everything. That term showbread, when you read it in the original language, it literally means bread of presence or bread of face. What it means is that, and John Gill, he's a theologian, he talks about how the showbread table was a memorial of God's goodness in daily providing bread for the people of Israel when they were in the wilderness. And it was presented to God as a thankful acknowledgement of his provision. You see, for 40 years, Israel, they traveled in the wilderness. And in that time, what took place is that God gave them bread every single day. He gave them food. And as God's setting up the tabernacle, he wants this bread, this table of bread, to be there as a reminder of Israel that every day you get up, you see my face. You know my presence is with you because I'm giving you bread. I'm giving you food. I'm keeping you alive. I'm your source of strength. I'm your source of vitality. I am your life. And that's what the table of showbread symbolized to them. We read about how there was to be 12 loaves, one for every tribe. In Leviticus 24, verses 5 and 6, he says, "You will take fine flour, bake 12 cakes with it. You shall set them in two rows, six in a row, on the pure gold table before the Lord." It's interesting, but as I love reading the Word of God, because it's like you're a detective. And God gives you a clue here and a clue there and a clue there. And you begin to piece things together and you realize lessons that God wants to teach us. And God said to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and you realize Deuteronomy is near the end of the 40 years of wandering. Israel's getting ready to go into the promised land. And God says to them, "Hey, this manna that I'm giving you, it's had a greater meaning than just physical food." Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. God says, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commands or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Why? Get this. That he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." How many think that's a familiar scripture? You've heard that before. You remember Jesus saying that. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus was quoting what God told Israel. You see, that manna, just as they needed manna to live, God was saying, "You need my word to live. If you're not people of my word, if you're not taking my principles and precepts in your life and applying them, you are going to starve. You're going to die. You won't have the strength you need to go in and take the land. So just as you want food, you need to crave the word of God, the bread of life." God's word provides for us. It provides strength and vitality. So this morning, I want to give you three steps to experiencing the presence of God through the Word, to experience the bread of presence. Because when you read the Word, you experience the presence of God. In your notes, number one this morning, we need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. We need to immerse ourselves. We need to take time every single day reading the Bible. And the reason is because it's powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "God's word is alive and powerful." Say powerful. Powerful. Yeah, that was powerful. Good job. "It is sharper," get this, "than any double-edged sword. His word can cut through our spirits and souls and through our joints and marrow until it discovers the desires and thoughts of our heart." If I had a sword up here, I could take that sword and I could run it through you. I could run it through you many different ways, but in all the ways I run it through you, that sword will never touch your soul. It'll never touch your spirit. It doesn't touch your motives. It doesn't touch your thoughts. But the Bible is so powerful that it does intersect with our soul, with our spirit, with our minds and our motives. And it speaks to us. It shows us if we have pure motives or if we have impure motives, if we have ulterior motives. It shows us things that are going on in our life. God's word, it says, it's alive. It's living. It interacts with us. God speaks to us through his word, and we need to immerse ourselves in the word. So the question is, how do we read the Bible? How do we get something out of the Bible? Now, if you're like me, nobody taught me how to read the Bible. And when I started reading in one of the worst places, in Genesis, and then in Exodus, and then in Leviticus. Okay, that's not a good place to start if you're brand new to the Bible. I'll talk about where to go. But the first thing that you and I need to do, and we've got some bullet points in your notes there, how to read the Bible, set an appointment with God. Set an appointment with God, just as you make a doctor's appointment, just as you make, you know, a dental appointment or an appointment for parent-teachers conferences. You need to make an appointment with God, but this is a daily appointment. Sometime in the day when you can get alone with God, free from distraction, no interruptions, no one's around. For some of you, that might be early in the morning. For others, maybe it's late at night. For some of you, maybe you have an hour-long lunch break at work, and you're going to go out to your car in the seclusion of your car. You're going to break the bread of life and begin reading, and that's where you're going to read. But set an appointment with God, a specific time and place to meet with him. The next bullet point says, use an easy-to-read version of the Bible. You can use the New King James, the New American Standard, the NIV, but read a version. Someone once says, Craig, what's the best version of the Bible to read? You know what it is? The version that you will read. Okay? It doesn't pay any good to get a version that you're not going to touch. All right? So get a version that you can get something out of. All right, the next thing is ask God to speak to you. We just read how God's word in Hebrews 4 is alive and powerful. And because it's alive, you realize when God spoke it to the authors, it's alive. It's still speaking to you and I today. So ask God, say, God, speak to me. Holy Spirit, just as you gave words to those writers, give me a word that applies to me today that's going to help me grow. Ask God to reveal himself to you, to speak to you. And then bullet point number 4, read through the Bible instead of just picking passages or only reading a little bit of scripture in a devotional book. I once heard the story of a guy who was needing some direction for God, and he says, God, I need direction. And so he decided to open up his Bible and put his finger down, and he says, God, you're going to show me what to do. And it said, Judas went out and hung himself. Okay, I don't like that. I'm going to pick something else. So he closes his Bible, put it up again, put it down. What you do, go and do quickly. How many realize that's not a good way to get direction for your life? No. So you want to read through an entire book of the Bible. And devotionals are great, but they're supplemental material. If you're only reading one little, you know, nugget in the scriptures that's in a devotional, you are missing out on so much. The reason is because you see that devotional writer, when he did that verse, he's got his own thought and he wants you to get that thought. And it's probably a good thought. But here's the thing. When you read a chapter or two in the Bible, the Holy Spirit, now he can take whatever thought he knows you need, he can pick it out and say, here you go. Here's bread. Here's a meal for you. You're not just getting a little crumb, but you're getting a meal from me. You're letting God select how he wants to talk to you. And some of you say, I don't know where to start. A great place to start is the book of Matthew in the New Testament. Some of you, if you'd like to read through the Bible in a year, you write this down, okay? RadiusChurch.life, go to the About tab, then go to Resources, and you'll find a Bible reading guide. It's a Bible reading guide that we put together. And the good thing about this, you can read in the Old Testament. You'll start in Genesis. You'll also read in the New Testament, and then a psalm and a little bit from Proverbs all in one day. And if you find that's too much to read, just break it up. Do Genesis and the Proverb. The next day, do New Testament, do the Psalms. That Bible reading guide can help you read through the entire Bible in a year. And I encourage you, read through the Word, because that way you get all that God wants to give you. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every Christian should read through the Bible in their lifetime at least once. At least once, if not multiple times. I stopped keeping track about 15 years ago when I made it through like my ninth time. And I read it through different versions now, and every time I read it through, it's rich, it's deep, there's new meaning. Friends, you want to be people of the Word. You're missing out on so much if you're not in God's Word. So you read through the Bible. Now, as you read, what do you look for? How do you do it? You want to use soap when you read through the Bible, okay? Some of you are going, how do I use soap? You know, not saying get out a bar of soap and lather up, okay? Soap stands for Scripture, where you're reading the Scripture. Read it slowly. Don't just say, well, I got to get through my Bible reading today, blah, 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 and I'm all done. No, read it slowly. Ask God to speak to you. The letter O stands for observation. We have this in your notes, so you can follow this. Ask God to help you see something and look for something that pops out, something in the pages of Scripture that makes sense to you, and write that down along with the Scripture verse and the whole Scripture. Write it down, and then after that, look for an application. The letter A is application. How does this apply to my life? What does this mean for me? And then the letter P stands, pray for it. After you've got something that applies, pray for God to help you apply it to your life. I started using this method of Bible reading about 4 years ago, and it just revolutionized my devotional life. There was a lot of times I went through the Bible and felt like I wasn't getting a lot out of it. This brings the Bible alive. And there are some days I don't have an observation, especially when you're reading the genealogies, okay? When your chapter's a genealogy, or it lists all the different ways, the different sacrifices for the burnt offering and the peace offering, and it seems, oh my goodness, there might not be a lot there. That's okay. It's the consistency, developing a habit of feeding yourself. You won't spend your entire life in genealogies and sacrifices, okay? God speaks to us through His Word. So use soap as you read the Bible. All right. After we are immersing ourselves in Scripture, pursuing His presence through Scripture, the next thing we need to do to experience the bread of presence, for God to speak to us, is we not only need to immerse, we need to reverse. We need to reverse. You're saying, what do you mean by that? Well, let me ask you this. What happens when you put your vehicle in reverse? You go the other direction, don't you? You change course. And friends, I guarantee you, as you and I, as we're reading the Bible, God's going to speak to us about things, and He's going to say to you, you know what? You need to change course. You're doing something wrong that you need to confess and stop doing and get right with God. Or there's something right that you're leaving out of your life, and you need to begin to dive into God's Word and do this thing. And so we need to reverse the course of our life when God speaks to us from His Word. It tells us in James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. How many of you have ever forgotten what you looked like in the mirror? Some of you forget what you look like. You look at yourself in the mirror, forget what you look like. That's what happens when we read the Bible. I want you to think of this. Can you never even picture what you should look like? I mean, I think I know what I look like in the mirror. I got a resemblance of that. This is saying when you don't apply the Word of God, you have no idea who you are. That's what happens if you're just reading it and not applying it. You don't know who you are. You don't know your identity as a child of God. You don't know yourself as a warrior, as an overcomer. We need to do the Word. It goes on to say, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. How many want a blessed life? I think almost every hand's up. Hey, then it says, do the Word of God. That implies if we don't do it, it's the opposite. We have a cursed life. And really, that makes sense because we read in the Bible where obedience brings blessing, disobedience brings cursing. So if God speaks to you and I about something as we're reading that we need to change course, we need to reverse, we need to align ourselves with the direction that God is leading us to go. And then we come to the third point in your life. The third point is this. We need to rehearse the verse. We need to rehearse the verse. If someone's rehearsing for a play or a performance, what do? They repeat the lines of the play over and over and over again. They keep saying it over and over. Why do they do that? Because they're trying to get it implanted and emblazoned in their mind to even come to a place where they don't have to think about it anymore. It's just part of who they are, and they can say it without really thinking about it. And that's what you and I need to do. We need to rehearse the verse so that our minds are renewed. The Bible talks about, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. How many realize that when we go out in the world, we go to school, we go to college, we go into our job, our workplace, we are inundated with other people's opinions, with secular viewpoints. You hear things on the radio, on TV, you read it on your phones, the news. You see a humanistic perspective about life. You see worldly philosophies that are contrary with what God says about life. And all those messages want to conform us and cram us into the pattern of the world. And Paul says, don't be conformed to that pattern, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And only as you and I take in the Word of God, as we're immersed in it, and then we're reversing the course of anything we need to, and then we begin to rehearse it in our life, can we have renewed minds. So how do we renew our minds? I'm going to give you two practical steps in your notes for renewing your mind. Number one is ask for daily bread. Ask for daily bread. As you're starting to read the Bible, ask God to give you a word from Scripture that is going to help you throughout the day, something that's going to benefit your life. When Jesus taught us to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I believe that is talking about, give me the food I need. Give me what I need to make it through this day. Realize in Bible times, they didn't eat meat at every meal. They ate bread. So if you had bread, you had food. God, give me the food, the sustenance I need to make it through this day. But it's not just physical, it's spiritual. How many believe that God knows everything that's going to happen to you today? I see many heads shaking, many hands up. He does. So, say, God, I want you throughout this day to give me a word, a piece of bread for the situations that I encounter. And maybe it's something that you read that morning, but maybe it's something you read a few days ago, a few weeks ago, a few months ago, a few years ago. You see, that's why it's important to be immersed in the Word, so that when you come up with a situation, the Holy Spirit goes back to what you've read, and through that library of principles of knowledge you've gained, he takes it and he brings it fast forward to your situation and says, here you go, here's bread, here's what you need to get through this moment, to get through this temptation, to get through this struggle, to get through this attack of the enemy. I'm giving you bread right now. And we need to spend time in prayer every day saying, God, give me bread. You know the situations I'm going to encounter? Give me the words from Scripture, the promises from Scripture, the principles of Scripture that I need to be strong and victorious as a warrior for Jesus Christ. Ask God for a word for whatever situations you encounter that day. That's the first thing you need to do as you're spending time reading the Bible and praying. The second thing in your notes is you need to memorize power verses. You need to memorize power verses for various situations. We've given you some references there in your notes along with topics. If you're facing discouragement, I encourage you to look at Joshua 1:9. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Look at this. Do not be discouraged. Did you realize it's a command to not be discouraged? So if I let myself wallow in discouragement, I'm breaking a command of God. Did you realize letting yourself wallow in discouragement is a sin? If it's a command not to be discouraged and you're going to stay stuck in it, be an Eeyore, let those rain clouds just hang over you all the time, that's sin. And you need to ask God, Lord, I'm sorry, I need to reverse the course because you tell me don't be discouraged. Why? Because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He's always with you. If you're struggling with lust or pornography, Job 31:1, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. If you're married, guys, read the book of Proverbs. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving doe and a graceful deer, let her breast satisfy you at all times. You didn't think you'd hear that in church, did you? That's one of my favorite Bible principles to apply, okay? Guys, hey, the Bible's practical. Amen. Man, the Bible's practical. All right, let's go on. Fear. Do you have fear this morning? Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Maybe you're going through a difficult time, and you feel like God doesn't love you. He doesn't care. Turn to the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17, where he says, the Lord your God in your midst, he's there in the middle of your situation, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you. The unrest, the turmoil you have, he'll quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. There's some of you this morning, you need to take that verse and you need to rehearse it. You need to repeat it over and over and over and over. Memorize that power verse because you're feeling like God doesn't care. If you struggle with insecurity or inadequacy, Colossians 2:10, one of my favorite verses, you are complete in him. If you have struggled with filthy language, Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And you meditate on that. I want a wholesome tongue. When I begin to speak perversity, when I begin to criticize and slam other people, I'm bringing perversity in it. God, I want a wholesome tongue in my life. Fear and witnessing. Some of you struggle in witnessing. You'd say, I really want to witness, but I don't know. I'm afraid of what I'm going to say. Well, look at the promise God gave to Moses in Exodus 4:12. Therefore, go. I will be with you with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. God will be with your mouth. He'll teach you what to say. He can help you witness. Friends, what are you doing with the Word of God in your life? Mahatma Gandhi, the famous Hindu teacher, blasted Christians when he said this about the Bible. He says, you Christians have in your keeping a document with enough dynamite in it to blow the whole civilization to bits, to turn society upside down, to bring peace to this war-torn world. But you read it as if it were just good literature and nothing else. Pretty convicting. I want to close with this story. In August of 1992, Hurricane Andrew ripped through Florida, the Bahamas, and Louisiana, and a television news crew was assigned to this neighborhood in South Florida to just capture the widespread destruction of Andrew. And in one scene, in all the devastation and debris, they came to this neighborhood where every home had been destroyed except one was standing. So they interviewed the homeowner because he was out in his yard cleaning up debris, making his yard clean while his home was there. And they approached him and said, "Sir, why is your house the only one in the entire neighborhood that's still standing?" And he said, they said, "How did you manage to escape when the hurricane damaged everything else?" And he said, "I built this house myself. I also followed Florida State Building Code. When the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, I use 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that was how a house was built according to code could withstand a hurricane. I did, and it did. I suppose no one else around me followed the code." What are you doing with the code in your life? Do you know the code? Are you immersed in the code? When the code says, "Hey, you're using 2x4s, are you reversing course and going with 2x6s? Are you rehearsing the code so it becomes part of your life so you can defeat every temptation? Friends, when Jesus was in the wilderness, he's tempted by the devil. And the devil says, "You've been fasting, you need to eat. Turn these stones to bread." And Jesus says, "Man doesn't live by physical food alone, by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He rehearsed the verse and won victory again and again and again. And that's what he has for you and for me. Let's pray this morning. Oh, Lord God, I thank you for your word. It's living, it's powerful. It refreshes, it renews, it encourages, it challenges, it gives us life, hope, peace, joy, strength. Father, speak to each of us today about our relationship with your living word. Everyone here in the house and those watching online, I just want to ask you this morning, what is God speaking to you about your level of Bible engagement? What's God saying to you about how much you're in the Word? For some of you, you need to start rehearsing the verse. You need to renew your mind. You might be reading the Word in the morning, but you go throughout the day and you're just kind of forgetting everything. Maybe you haven't been asking God for a piece of bread that day to encounter the situations. Maybe you have never developed power verses, but you struggle with lust. You struggle with your tongue. You struggle with fear. You struggle with discouragement. Whatever it is, you need to begin to go home, search the scriptures, look them up, search them online. Just type in anxiety, type in purity, type in a wholesome tongue, and find those verses online. When the Holy Spirit quickens one to you, you write it down. You put it on a note card, stick it in your pocket so you've got it when that temptation comes. Some of you today, God's speaking to you. You're regular in the Word of God, but you're just sensing he's saying, "You know what? I want you to up your game. I want you to read a little bit more." God's challenging you to read the Bible through. Maybe you've never made it through the Bible. You've stopped. You need to get that Bible reading guide and read the Word through so you can get the whole counsel of God. For others, God might be saying, you need to apply soap to your life. There may be some of you, you read, but then you're very inconsistent. You haven't developed that regular pattern. And you haven't been feeding your soul. And God's challenging you to have a regular diet of the Word of God. There might be some of you, your diet is kind of like a half-eaten hamburger in a Happy Meal with a couple of cold French fries. And God says, my word, I've got this banquet with a 20-ounce ribeye, with lobster and shrimp, with ribs, with desserts, with, and it's calorie-free. And it's just a banquet. It's going to feed you and make you strong. It's sweet. It's going to give you life and strength and vitality. And God's challenging you today to begin to immerse yourself in a regular pattern of reading the Word of God. If God's talking to you about some level of Bible engagement, knowing you need to up it, I want you just to lift your hand. You're saying, God, you've spoken to me. I'm going to change course. I'm going to get more in the Word. I'm going to start being regular in the Word. I'm going to rehearse the verse. Many hands going up this morning. Friends, God is rejoicing and the devil is fuming because he knows when you get in the Word, you're going to be a powerful warrior. Just as Jesus defeated him with the Word, you're going to defeat him. You can put your hands down this morning. There's a second area I want to talk to each of you in the house and those online today. And maybe you need to reverse the course of your life. As you look at how you're building your life, you haven't been using 2x6s. You've been using 2x4s. There's some of you here, God's been speaking to you about something in your life that you know you need to change. You need to repent of something you need to stop doing or something you need to start doing. And you say, no, God, I don't want to do what you've been arguing. But this morning, you're saying, God, I'm going to reverse the course of my life. I'm going to change direction. I want to align with you. Obedience brings blessing. I want blessing in my life. If you're here this morning and God's speaking to you about something you need to get right with him, just put your hand up high. Anyone here this morning, you'd say, I'm changing course. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? There may be some of you, that reversal of course is that you need to start following Jesus. You've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You maybe even have gone to church a long time, but you've never asked God to forgive you and said, Lord, you're in charge of my life. If you're here in the house this morning and God's talking to you, I want you to raise your hand. If you need to become a Christian, or maybe you've fallen away and you need to rededicate your life, how many would say, I need to get right with God. I need to become a follower of Jesus. Put your hand up this morning. Anyone here? Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else today? Anyone else this morning? Those of you watching online, if God's talking to you about a relationship with Jesus, you realize that you're a sinner and you need God to forgive you and take charge of your life, just raise your hand wherever you're at this morning. Is there anyone else here today you'd say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to become a Christian. Just put your hand up. You can put it back down. I'm going to say this prayer, and I would like all of us to repeat this together, no one praying alone. Say, Lord Jesus, you died for my sin. I'm sorry for all the wrong I've done. I'm done taking shortcuts, building with 2x4s. I'll do things your way, follow your code. I'm going to dig into the Word and let you change me. Give me the life you want me to have. Thank you, Lord, for loving me and saving me from my sin. Help me to live for you. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.